I know one of the things that has been going on in the news over here in the UK recently has been quite a sexual scandal that was going on between a judge or two judges and the cleaning lady. Now, the judge involved was actually supposed to be an immigration judge, or the two judges, I think they were actually involved with it, from the immigration department. And what in fact then transpired is they were having an affair between the two of them, and also then they were having an affair, or at least one of them was having, the man involved was having an affair with this cleaning lady, who then blackmailed her, the pair of them, because of certain videos that were found and so on. It was pretty tabloid material, and certainly was treated that way by the tabloids over here. However, it's interesting that what it does say here in this editorial, it says, what do we expect from our judges? And he starts to do a little bit of an analysis on what, in fact, we've just witnessed over this past week or so. It says, even the most acerbic satirist would have struggled to come up with a plot as outlandish as the trial that concluded this week at the Old Bailey, involving a blackmailing Brazilian cleaner and a pair of adulterous, sexually uninhibited members of the judiciary. The ingredients of this extraordinary case, featuring a Serbian gangster and a serial killer, and that was the husband of this woman, apparently, was this serial killer in Serbia, and a series of explicit videos, one of them including a mystery blonde allegation of cocaine snorting in Thailand, and a various trouser-dropping bearded Muslim judge by the name of Mohammed Khan, would have stretched the bounds of credibility if staged in a West End farce. And it just about would. And yet that has been what has been going on, as I say, probably in the tabloids more than the Telegraph, but nevertheless, the Telegraph also touched on it, and also we saw it on the news as well. But it's going on, it says, but for all its unintentional hilarity, the proceedings are bound to provoke astonishment at what is happening within our political and judicial establishment. It used to be fashionable to look upon judges as fusty, isolated, aloof figures whose idea of a good time was listening to the complete ring cycle or reading the Tacitus in Latin. And that was just about the view of the judges, the ring cycle being the ring of church bells, presumably, we were talking about. Now, if Mohammed Khan and his colleague, Mrs. J, the other judge in this star-crossed triangle, are anything to go by, some of them seem to be more dissolute than a bedroom full of Premiership footballers. And it goes on about this, and it says that it's no wonder that the immigration system is on the verge of collapse when the likes of Khan are in charge. The old Italian saying that when the fish rots, it starts from the head, has never been truer. And Khan's degeneration symbolizes the way that the state's willingness to defend our society, to uphold the rule of law, and to maintain the borders has been hopelessly dissipated. And he goes on to talk about, he says, but there was a crucial difference between then and now. He's talking about what had happened in the past and the various problems of this nature that happened in the past. It says, the establishment and the wider public used to hold a universal moral code. Of course, not all lived up to it, but those who were exposed for failing to live up to it, its precepts, had to retire from public life. This might today seem to be hypocritical, and indeed it often was, given the way some indulge in their provocatives in private. But hypocrisy entails the existence of an accepted standard of morality. And this really is the problem. Is there is no existence of an accepted standard of morality. And therefore, what we're seeing in these newspaper, these scurrilous, well, they're not even scurrilous, they're just immoral newspaper articles, the morality is missing. It says, in modern Britain, there is nothing like this. Instead, we are told that someone's private life should be divorced from their public one, as if each had no bearing on the other. And that's the way in which you get that continually being thrown in the media. It said, yet someone who is a habitual liar, fraud, and self-server in his personal affairs is likely to translate that attitude towards his public duties. It just goes without almost saying that that is the case, and yet that is not the way it is looked on in the Western world today. We try and divorce the private from public life and try and make sure, trying to categorize them in different areas. And even when modern degenerates are caught, They like to pretend to be the victims instead of taking responsibility for their actions. So Mr. Prescott playing the chippy working class card, labelling his critics as snobs while self-pitying serial alcoholics, and he goes on to various other political figures. It says, we live in an unheroic age where faults are celebrated rather than criticised. Self-restraint and dignity are regarded as freakish, not commendable. Drug-taking pop stars are admired far more than risk-taking soldiers. And so Muhammad Khan should not worry too much. He's probably on the course to be the future Lord Chief Justice. Now, all right, that's tongue-in-cheek. But nevertheless, it shows the degenerate nature of the judiciary and the way in which our society is actually going at this present time. If we turn over to Hosea chapter 7, in Hosea chapter 7, we see these prophecies really coming alive in our midst. But here in Hosea chapter 7, it says in verse 1, it says, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief comes in, and a troop of robbers spoils without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about, and they are therefore before my face. Now this is what they don't seem to understand. There's no fear of God there. There's no admission that God actually exists even. And we can see that because in the same kind of same paper, it was in the same a couple of days after this particular article, it's got an article here about tarantula spiders. And this particular article goes into the threads of silk, which weight for weight is stronger than steel, spun by the feet of tarantulas, were probably missed before because they're only 500 billionths of a metre across. Now, basically, what they've discovered is that the feet of a tarantula, the way it sticks to things, is that it has silk glands in its feet. And it actually will stick to whatever it's crawling on, in addition to other silk glands. It says, this could have implications for where spider silk came from some 400 million years ago. Perhaps silk production from spiders' feet evolved first, with production from the specialist spinnerets used for making webs coming later, Professor Volraith said. Alternatively, foot secretions may have evolved independently as a key innovation to help the relatively large and heavy tarantula spider move around and prevent them from falling and damaging themselves. But the whole thing is evolution-based. The whole thrust and everything you will see on any kind of article, in any kind of paper, of any kind of substance, anything to do with scientific journals or anything like that, it's all evolution-based. And it says here, they consider not, in verse 2, that I remember their wickedness, and now their own doings have beset them about, and they are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. They're all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker who ceased from raising after he's kneaded the dough until it's leavened. In other words, they're doing nothing else but going out and sleeping around. And that's what we find, and we find even within the judges. In the days of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners, or you could say cocaine as well. Because that's what they're using the wine for in this particular instance. And cocaine has a similar effect. Heroin or whatever else that they happen to use. For they have made ready their heart like an oven, while they lie in wait. Their baker sleeps all night, in the morning he burns as a flame of fire. They're all as hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There's none among them that calls unto me. That's the problem. And so when we see something like this, which, as I say, over here it has been quite prominent in the newspapers, when we see this kind of thing, we need to go back to verses like this that see, look, this is where the judges are going wrong. They have forgotten God. There's no God. There's no fear of God. And anyone that goes down a certain way without a fear of God, you can guarantee they'll be off track. Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. It's interesting. This is a judge who is in the immigration service, who is allowing the people in, is Muslim for a start, is not English whatsoever, is not a member of Israel. Ephraim is a cake not turned, is a half-baked cake. In other words, it's half-baked and useless. That's basically what we're looking at. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he doesn't know it. He doesn't realize what the problems really are. Another article that appeared the day after that particular one. It says 1 in 8 pupils speak English as a second language. That's 1 in 8. It says 1 in 8 primary school pupils now speaks English as a second language, according to figures published yesterday. So we can see, as it says here, Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a half-baked cake. In other words, he's not... What actually made the nation great was the hand of God, yes, but the hand of God guided the nation into a certain direction. It allowed the nation to understand a little bit about the law of God, and also there was a national identity as well, and the national identity was Israelitish. But it says, no, it's half-baked now. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he doesn't know it. Grey hairs are here and there upon him, and yet he doesn't know. He doesn't actually see what the problems are. There's another one. This is on the 25th, a few days before. It says, craftsmen ready the gods for the festival. The construction of a pantheon of Hindu gods and goddesses in London by craftsmen from West Bengal is nearing its climax. The straw and clay statues made by... I can hardly pronounce it. Nimai Chandrapal Bishwajit, I think his name is. Sorry, I've missed one. Chaturvati as well. I've got another one. There's about four names in there. And another person as well with an equally obscure name. Part of the Voices of Bengal exhibition at the British Museum and include the gods Durga, Kanesh, Katik, and Sarawali, I think it is. Most of those, in fact, all of those I'd never heard of before, but there was some of the Hindu pantheon. I mean, the main Hindu gods are three, Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. They're the three expressions, but every single living thing they have a god to, because they reckon it's got God in it somewhere. For the festival of the goddess Durga, the statues will be carried through the streets of Camden, North London, where the worship is traditionally held every year. Now, this is going on all the time, each year, and we have a king, or future king, who is going to, as far as I can tell, will in fact be, instead of being the defender of the faith, which was something given to him by the Pope, the faith being the Catholic Church, but even it will no longer be the defender of the faith, it'll be the defender of faith. And that means of any kind of faith whatsoever. And it says, strangers have devoured his strength, and he doesn't know it. This is the kind of thing that is devouring the very strength of the nations, of Israel, and yet we just don't know it. Another one that might be of interesting, when you're looking at the Polish people coming in, it says, Polish plumbers and Polish priests. And it says, the world changed greatly for the better with the fall of the Soviet communism, provoked partly by the Poles, and chiefly by their unlikely Pope, John Paul II. Now Britain is host to 500,000 or even more Poles, mostly young, who have come here in a rush to work and the self-impoverishment. No, it's not. Self-improvement it is. They are self-impoverished before they get here. It is self-improvement. In this warm summer, plenty of unsuccessful young Poles have slept on the streets. Soon it will be getting colder, and if there are difficulties for the Poles who share so much cultural and old alliances with us, how will the Bulgarians and the Romanians fare when their countries join the European Union? By an irony, the same week that the passage found itself unable to cope with a Polish migrant request for help, figures came out for the remarkable expansion in the number of young Polish men back home who are training for the priesthood. Now, this is interesting. Whereas in England and Wales, 31 men began their training last year, in Poland the number was 1,351. That's the contrast between the two countries. And the influence that the Poles are having, and the Eastern Bloc is having, in the area of Catholicism and the area of religion is huge. So here we find a society that is degenerate, that has an enormous amount of influx from other heathen nations, and yet here we find that there is this counteraction that is also occurring. Although it's Catholic, this counteraction. It says the total number of Polish seminaries, numbers in Polish seminaries, are 6,563. I'm going to have to change these glasses, I think. And when we're looking at the problems, where it says here that strangers have devoured his strength and he doesn't know it. Yes, grey hairs are here, there upon him, and he doesn't know it. Part of the problem with this particular report about these judges was this Brazilian lady whose husband was a gangster and it was from Serbia. And here, when we're looking at the European Commission, it says, this is another one from the 23rd, the European Commission will admit Bulgaria and Romania to the European Union without the special safeguard clauses argued by the nations, including Britain, the EU top justice official has revealed. Now, what that means is that these include the European arrest warrant, which is issued by judges in other EU countries, but has almost the same force in Britain as a warrant issued by a British judge. So people in Bulgaria and Romania, judges in Bulgaria and Romania, can issue arrest warrants and arrest people over here. Reformist ministers and officials in Romania and Bulgaria are the first to admit that their judiciary and prosecution service includes figures notorious for corruption and links to organized crime. So here the organized criminals can actually pursue people through the court, through the judiciary process, and extract them from Britain. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he doesn't know it. Grey hairs are here and there upon him. He does not know it. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face, and they do not return to the eternal their God, nor seek him for all this. That's the problem. They've forgotten who they are. Well, they never knew who they are, as far as Israel's concerned, but they did have an understanding of people who were underneath the principles that found within Scripture. Ephraim also is a silly dove without heart. They'll call to Egypt, they go to Assyria, and when they shall go, I will spread my net upon them, and I'll bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation has heard. And their congregation did hear. It heard by the ship stations years ago. It's heard by Mr. Armstrong through many, many sources. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, and yet they have spoken lies against me. That's the problem. And that, when we read these kind of articles within the newspaper, that indeed comes out loud and clear. And it can be seen in even the most... what's the word I'm looking for? A scurrilous article, such as we'll find about this recent two judges and a cleaning lady.